Perhaps we could turn to God's Word and read together in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 is where we want to read from today. This chapter in Proverbs 4 deals with wisdom. We are exhorted to study wisdom, to get understanding. And it's something that we all need in this day and age. In every age, we all need wisdom. We all need the understanding of God. And Proverbs chapter 4, we're going to begin our reading at verse number 20. Proverbs 4 and verse number 20. There the word of God says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Amen. And we trust that God will bless his word to our hearts and will speak to us through the reading of his word. We'll just come to one more hymn before we come to the message this morning. It's the hymn 254. The hymn 254, it says, "Give me thy heart, says the Father above. No gift so precious to him as our love. Softly he whispers, wherever thou art, gratefully trust me and give me thy heart." Let's sing this hymn together as a prayer. Let's sing it together as the prayer of our hearts, that we would give every aspect of our heart over to the Lord. And we'll remain seated while we sing this hymn together.
Thank you.
turn again to Proverbs chapter 4. And the verse we really want to hone in on this morning is the verse number 23. Proverbs chapter 4 and the verse number 23. There we read in the Word of God, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Let's stand together again while we come to our God in prayer, just to change our positions. Our God and our Father in heaven, Lord, we humbly bow in your presence one more time this day. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to come to the throne of grace, and Lord, to seek your face, to lay out our need for this time. And Lord, we would ask that you would speak to each and every one of our hearts. Lord, as we have even heard in the announcements, we do pray for those who are sorrowing and suffering at this time. We do pray for those who have lost family members, who have lost loved ones. We do pray that their hearts would be comforted, that they would know the presence of God with them. And we do even pray for the minister here, the Reverend McKee, as he is in London. Lord, give him a word from on high today. May he speak well for Christ, and may he uplift the name of the Saviour. We do pray that you would fill him with the Holy Ghost as he would preach over there in London. And Lord, we do pray for our gathering here. Lord, give us hearts that are receptive to your word. Lord, give us hearts that are ready to receive your word and apply it. And Lord, give each and every one of us the Holy Ghost to understand thy word and to put it into practice. Lord, we do pray, give us help now as we come to meditate upon this passage for a brief time. And we do pray that you would encourage, thrill, and challenge our hearts this day. We ask these things in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Follow your heart and you'll never go wrong. Follow your heart and happiness will follow. Follow your heart. It knows the way. That was my favourite one that I read this week. These are some quotes that I've been reading as we were coming to study this passage in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. These are some quotes, and inspirational quotes that I read online. And they were meant to encourage people to follow after their heart, to follow the affections and the desires that pour out of our hearts. It was meant to encourage us to do that. And many people today, they want to follow their heart because their heart will lead to happiness. Follow your heart. It knows the way to take. And it feels right to them in their heart, telling them to go for it. Then they set their affections on that thing. Whatever it is their heart is telling them, they go after it. They chase after it with all of their strength. We could say that following after the heart is the way of the world. In the book of Proverbs, it deals very extensively with the subject of the heart. 81 times in Proverbs we see the word heart is mentioned, and it is dealt with that many times. And therefore the author, who is King Solomon, he is writing this, and he clearly knew that the matter of the heart was of vital importance. Solomon stands out as one of the wisest men to have ever lived in this world. We know that in Nehemiah 13 verse 2 it tells us there that among all and the many of the nations there was no king like him, who is beloved of his God. And yet with all of that wisdom, we know that Solomon, when he was young, he asked the Lord for that one thing, that he would have wisdom, that he would have understanding. And yet having all of that wisdom, we see that he possessed all of that wisdom, but yet Solomon struggled with keeping his heart before God. He struggled with this issue of the heart. This verse that tells us that even though he was beloved of God, in Nehemiah 13 verse 2, it says that he still sinned against God. He still had times where he fell away from God. And he struggled with the flesh day and daily. And do each and every one of us not go under that same struggle each and every day? We feel the bombardment of our hearts being pulled in all directions. And we know that Solomon, he had 700 wives and 300 concubines, and well, I'll not make any comments on that. I don't need to make any comments on it. We know that it was wrong. We know that it was sinful. We know that Solomon, because of that, and if you turn very quickly over to 1 Kings chapter 11, we read what that resulted in. we see in 1 Kings chapter 11 and the verses 3 through to 4. 1 Kings chapter 11 verses 3 and 4. They tell us there that he, that is Solomon, he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father, of David his father. We see here in these words some very sad and striking remarks. His wives turned his heart away from God. They turned his heart away from love and obedience toward the one who has loved him and died for him. And therefore, those who believe, follow your heart and you'll never go wrong. Those who believe, follow your heart and it'll lead you to happiness. Follow your heart because it knows the way. And to believe in that is utter foolishness. Because we must just only consider Solomon. He followed after his heart. His heart was led away. His wives led his heart away from the Lord and under the displeasure of his heavenly Father. Therefore, this morning, I want us to consider the verse number 23 that we find here in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 tells us, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And therefore, we want to deal with that subject of keeping the heart this morning. Keeping the heart. And firstly, in that keeping of the heart, we see that there is a command. Because we read those first three words in verse number 23, "Keep thy heart." Very, very simple and straightforward command it is. But when we consider the Hebrew words that we find here in this passage, we begin to see that there is so much more rich application and meaning that can be drawn from this verse. The word heart here in Proverbs 4 verse 23, it is the Hebrew word lev, and it is a very broad word that speaks not only of that physical organ that pumps blood around the body, that keeps us alive. It is speaking of the will, the passions, the desires and the emotions of our being. And the Bible tells us the state of man's heart. A verse I'm sure each and every one will know off the top of their heads. Jeremiah 17 verse 9 tells us that the heart is deceitfully wicked. Or it's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That is why Proverbs 23 verse 26 says that we are advised to give our hearts to God. We have just been singing that hymn. It tells us, "Give me thy heart." And that hymn was written based upon the words of Proverbs 23 verse 26, which says, "My son, give me thy heart." Charles Bridges, he said that conscious faith commits the keeping of the heart to a faithful Creator. That is why we are advised to give our hearts to God, to commit the keeping of our hearts to God, because He alone can keep it from sin. He alone can keep it from falling into the miry pit. And the word here, keep, it can also be translated as guard. And therefore we could read this verse once again in Proverbs 4 verse 23. We could read it as, "Guard thy heart." And this word keep or guard, it gives us a very interesting picture. It gives us a picture of a watchman up in the walls, or a prison guard in a prison cell. These verses allude to the fact that the heart must be guarded and watched over, just like watching over a prisoner. And this is done to prevent the heart from doing wicked things. And we think of that illustration of the guard. The prison guard, his role and his duty is to keep the prisoner in the prison cell. He is not to get out. He is not to get free. He is not to get loose. And that is the role of the guard. The guard keeps the prisoner in the cell. And when we consider the words of Jeremiah 17 verse 9, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, is it any wonder that we're commanded in this verse to keep our hearts, to guard our hearts? We do not want that sin to get out. We do not want that sin to permeate into the rest of our lives. And on the other hand, this word guard, as we said, it also speaks of a watchman. We are not only to guard our hearts from the sin getting out, but we're to guard our hearts from those attacks from without that bombard us day and daily. Those negative influences that affect the heart and that attack the heart each and every day. Back in Bible times, the watchman had a very vital role. He had a role to be on the lookout, to be up on the city walls, to be seeing if there was any danger that was approaching. And he was, if he saw any danger, he was to close the gates immediately, to sound the army, to make sure that they were ready for a battle. He knew that every one of the lives that was in the city depended on his watchfulness and on his diligence. And if he was not careful in guarding the city, then the enemies would come in, they would ransack it, they would destroy the city, and they would plunder it and take it for themselves. And is that not like our own hearts? Must we not be the watchmen of our own hearts, the guards of our own hearts? We must guard it from the sin within, but we must also be that watchman looking for the threats from without. The watchman was authorized to use deadly force if necessary to protect the city. And I wonder, how far will we go to protect our own hearts? How far will we go to protect our own hearts from the sin which we see in every hand? From those temptations that come day and daily? What are we willing to do as the people of God, working with the Lord to secure our hearts, to guard them, to keep them each and every day? This is why we are exhorted in this verse to guard our hearts, to keep our hearts. Because the book that John Bunyan wrote, the second book that he wrote, was called The Holy War. And in it he gives the illustration of that city. He calls the city man's soul. And there are five gates that he has to protect, those five senses that each and every one of us have to come up and face. And what do we read here in Proverbs 4? And the last sections of Proverbs 4. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. We see here the senses are being described once again. Therefore, it is so vital and so important that we protect and guard our hearts. Verse 24 tells us of the lips. The Bible tells us that lying lips are an abomination unto the Lord. We must guard our tongues, that little member who can cause so much damage. It says in verse number 25 about the eyes. And we know how all too often that sin and temptation can just look, or can begin just with a look. Therefore we have to be so careful to guard our eyes. And then in verse 26 tells us of our feet. How all too often we must protect where we go, who it is we spend time with. Because if we are spending time with the people of the Lord, then our hearts will be uplifted, our hearts will be edified. But if we are spending time with those who are not the Lord's people, we can be led into more temptation. Led into more temptation to do evil and to do sin. Therefore we must guard our hearts from those external forces and that internal force of the flesh. That is why we are commanded in Deuteronomy 4 verse 9 to take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. And I wonder, this morning, I ask the question, I pose the question to myself, I pose the question to you today as a congregation and for everyone listening in online. Are we guarding our hearts? Are we keeping watch over our hearts? Have we been diligent watchmen and watchwomen of our hearts? And that leads us on to consider the second point, because we see that there is a command in this verse, but we also see that there is a reason for this command. There is a reason for this command, and it is because the Christian's heart is under constant bombardment every day, as we have already said. Pardon me. As Christians, we are involved and engaged in a very real battle. We are involved in a battle each and every day against those three enemies that we hear so many times about. The world, the flesh, and the devil. They attack the Christian day and daily. John Flavel, he said that the greatest difficulty in conversion is winning a heart to God. And the difficulty after conversion is to keep the heart with God. And is that not so true? The hardest thing that at times we can face as Christians is keeping our hearts right with God. It's keeping our hearts close to God, having that close fellowship and communion with Him. When we are Christians, when we have been saved by the blood of the Lamb, we are brought into newness of life. The Spirit of God quickens our hearts. It tells us that before we were dead in our trespasses and sins, but the Spirit of God makes us alive in Christ. And therefore, the Christian is given a new heart for the battle. He is given that heart of flesh, ready to do what the Lord would command. And there are so many battles in the Christian life that we will have to face. We will have to face so many trials, so many temptations, but the battle of the heart is the most important one that we will face in this life. That is because, as we read here in verse number 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Solomon wrote later in Proverbs 23 verse 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And the heart is the reservoir from which all of our affections and all of our actions proceed. Jesus Christ, he said himself in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A lot of people, they'll say, what's in here will come out through here. And if we do not guard our hearts, then it is open to attack. And as we have stated, those attacks, they come from three very distinct sources. The world, it will try to entice us to live after itself. It will call us away from God. It will tell us it's okay. You can live as close to the world as you want. But as long as you're still with the Lord, you can live as close to the world as you want. And is that not the case all too often in our Christian lives? That we would prefer to live as close to the world rather than as close to the Lord. Therefore, we must be diligent to guard our hearts from worldliness. Because the Christian is to abstain from all appearance of evil. We want that close walk with God, not that close walk with the world. The flesh will also try to claim the heart of the child of God. And at times, it is the enemy that can break us down so easily. The heart is under constant attack every day from within. Our own flesh is such a great enemy. While we are quickened by the power of the Holy Ghost, while we are made new creatures in Christ, that does not mean that we will not battle with the flesh. We consider the words of Paul and what he wrote in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, please turn with me there for a short time. And Paul deals with the heart. Romans chapter 7. Romans 7 verse 17. We come to see what Paul has to say on the heart. Romans chapter 7, the verse number 17. It says there, now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And this is the constant battle that we face as Christians. The indwelling sin in our hearts. The flesh, which constantly lures us back, tempts us back into those old sinful habits. And Paul could testify to those times when sin battled against his new creation and his new nature. And therefore, if the Apostle Paul was suffering from these attacks day and daily, and he was on his guard, how much more do we, as children of God, need to be on our guard for our hearts? Therefore, we must guard our hearts from the attacks within ourselves, from those attacks from the flesh. And then we see the devil as well. He is that other great enemy that we have to contend with. The great deceiver of the heart. He will tell you that sin, it's okay. It's not a big thing. There are some small sins, they're okay. There are some big sins, and yeah, you should probably stay away from them. But there are some wee sins, and they're okay. He will lie to us as Christians of God. He will lie to us as the children of God and tell us that repentance of sin, it's an easy thing. You can commit that sin. You can do that, and then you can come back to God and say, I'm sorry, God, and it'll be under the blood of Christ. Why worry about a little sin? It's so easy for the devil to come to us and to tell us repentance is an easy thing. Therefore, What does the Bible tell us? Proverbs 3:4, verse 23. He doesn't just tell us to keep our hearts, but he says, keep thy heart with all diligence. With all diligence. I don't know if you ever watch nature documentaries or if you ever watch anything on BBC or whatever it would be, and they'll go and they'll see many different animals in the animal kingdom. And you've possibly seen the meerkat before. And the meerkat, whenever it comes out of its hole in the ground, it perks its head up. It's looking all around. To be honest, it's a very funny little creature. But it's a diligent little creature. It keeps its head up. It looks around for any danger that might be coming. And we need to be like that in our Christian lives. We need to be diligent in keeping our hearts. The devil is not idle. What does 1 Peter 5 verse 8 tell us? He says there that our adversary, the devil, is that roaring lion. He goes about seeking whom he may devour. So what does Peter exhort us to be? Be sober and be vigilant. The devil does not take days off. The devil does not rest in trying to attack and entice the children of God into temptation. Therefore, we cannot rest either. We must be diligent in keeping our hearts. And how do we guard our hearts? How do we guard our lives? Well, it's at times it can be so simple, but yet it can be the hardest thing to do. It is through the Word of God and through prayer. If you think of the armor that a soldier would have to put on to battle, the breastplate is the most sturdy, it is the most durable part of his armor because it protects the most vital organ that he has, his heart. And what are we commanded by Paul to do in Ephesians 6? Ephesians 6 verse 14 tells us to take onto us the whole armor of God, taking the breastplate of salvation. It tells us the breastplate of righteousness is that which we have to take to protect our hearts, to guard our hearts from attack. And the breastplate of righteousness is given to us by the captain of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore in the battle, we can be confident that that breastplate of righteousness will not crack because it has been given to us by the Lord of hosts. It will not break when the devil's attacks come berating down upon us. We are secure in the hands of God, but we must be sober, we must be vigilant, and we must be diligent in this Christian life. We must be diligent to keep our hearts pure from the attacks without and from the attacks within. Therefore, this battle that we are engaged in and the foes that we face in this Christian life are the reason that we must be diligent. And the reason we must be diligent in keeping the Word of God close in our hearts. The Bible tells us, hide my word in thy heart. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And it tells us to carry all of our cares, all of our anxieties to the Lord in prayer. And these are the two means of graces that he has given to us. So we see the reason for this command. Lastly, I want us to consider the outcome of this command. Because we will either take heed to these words, we will either be diligent Christians, keeping our hearts, guarding our hearts with all intensity and ferocity, or we will be negligent. We will keep on losing the battle with our spiritual enemies time and time again. These are the two outcomes. As we have said already, the heart, as it is mentioned here in this reference, it is a reference to the inner man, the desires of our being. And the words out of it are the issues of life. They could also be translated as a flow of springing water. And a picture of a stream or a fountain is what we see here in Proverbs 4 verse 23, where it says, out of it are the issues of life. And this is why we have to be so careful in guarding our hearts, because it is the source and it is the fountainhead. And if the fountainhead is corrupted, then the stream and everything that flows from it will be corrupt. We've already mentioned Matthew 12 verse 34, where Christ said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. But when we read the next verse, verse number 35, it says there, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things. Therefore, this is why it is so vital to guard our hearts at all times, because it is the source and it is the fountain. And if it is polluted and poisoned, then all the waters will be poisoned too. We think about our physical, and they usually say, as in the physical, so in the spiritual. We think of our own hearts. If our heart is plagued with heart disease, that leads itself then to destroying the rest of the body. If our hearts are no use, it will have an effect on the rest of our body. And perhaps some of you in the congregation have experienced heart troubles in the past. You perhaps know what we're alluding to. If your heart is in trouble, if your heart is in pain, then it will flow out to the rest of your body. And that is why it is so vital for us in our spiritual Christian life to guard our hearts, to keep our hearts with all diligence. While the Lord is our keeper, while it is He who holds us in the palm of His hands, as we see in Jude 24, Jude 24 tells us, "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling." He is the one who holds us from falling. He holds us in the palm of His hands, keeps us from falling into sin time and time again. But this does not make us, as children of God, negligent. It is the duty of the Christian to keep our hearts with all diligence. Therefore, we must examine our hearts. We must examine our lives to see if we are producing that good fruit, if we have that good treasure in our heart bringing forth those good things. Because we will either have hearts that live for the glory of God, or we will have hearts that dishonour His name and bring shame to the family of God. And if we want hearts that bring glory to our Saviour, then listen to what we read here in this chapter, in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. Proverbs 4 verse 20 says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings." This is what we are commanded to do by the Lord. We will listen to God and to His word. For in it we have all the directions as to how we can keep our hearts fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, Solomon speaks again of the heart in Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14 verse 30 says that a sound heart is the life of the flesh. A sound heart is the life of the flesh. And if we want those sound hearts that please our Heavenly Father, then we will incline our ear to listen to His word. We will incline our ears to listen to God in each and every aspect of life. Therefore, listen to these words again. Keep thy heart with all diligence, or guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I wonder this morning, have you been negligent in your Christian walk? Perhaps the guard of your heart, perhaps those walls in your heart, they have dropped a little over these past months, weeks and years. I don't know how long it's been. I don't know what your walk with God is like. But perhaps you have been negligent in guarding your heart. You have not been with all diligence keeping your heart. This morning, let us all examine our lives. Let us examine ourselves and see if we are living lives to the glory of God. Seeing if our hearts produce works and lives that are honourable in God's sight. Let each and every one of us guard our hearts and be diligent in doing so, so that we might live lives that glorify our Father in heaven and exalt His name here upon this earth. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let's pray. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, Lord, we bow in your presence and we thank you for the word of God. We thank you that you inspired King Solomon to write these words. We know that these words come not from a man, but they come from God on high. Therefore, Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would guard our hearts. We would keep our hearts and we would be diligent. We would watch for those enemies that would come to attack our hearts with sin and temptation. And Lord, we do pray that we would be watchmen of our own souls and of our own hearts. Lord, I do pray that each and every one of us, as your people, as your children, that we would live lives honourable unto thee, live lives that glorify your name and bring honour to the name of Christ. Lord, I do pray that you would keep us throughout the rest of this day, and you would even this afternoon give us times of fellowship and times together as your children that would worship our God. That we would not just confine our worship of thee to this house, but we would bring it into our homes as well. And that everything that we would do would honour thy precious name. Lord, we do pray, bring us back out in safety this evening for the gospel service. And we do pray, speak to men and women's hearts today. Lord, we do pray, break down any stony hearts that there are in here today, and give each and every one of us those soft and receptive hearts to receive thy word and apply it to our lives. Lord, help us to keep our hearts with all diligence, so that we might honour and glorify thee in everything we do. We ask these things in Christ's holy and precious name. Amen.